Hey friends, this is Angela, the Real Credit Queen, and welcome to Your Credit Today, your go-to destination for mastering the art of credit management. Whether you're a seasoned financial guru or just starting your journey towards financial freedom, this podcast is your ultimate guide to understanding and optimizing your credit wellness. Join me as I unravel the complexities of the credit scoring system, debunk common myths, and provide practical credit strategies to help you navigate the world of credit with confidence. Get ready to take control of your financial future, one episode at a time. Well, hello, this is Angela Setters-Bassard of Your Credit Today. Your host for today, they call me the Real Credit Queen, and I've had the absolute pleasure to help people for almost 34 years. And today I have a super amazing guest on my show who is no guest at all to you guys because you know her. Her name is Samantha Headley. She is really the one that runs the operation and everything. I owe it all to her. Good morning, Samantha, or good afternoon, or whenever you're watching this podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Still morning for us. So I'm just dealing with my coffee right now, but absolutely. I'm excited to be here, excited to be on the show, excited to do something new with you for the first time. We've done a lot of things for the first time. So I'm just excited to do another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now today, friends, what we're going to be talking about is identity theft. Did you know that one out of six, or an estimated 9 million people per year, are affected by identity theft? Samantha, how many times do we get a call from someone who unfortunately has not monitored their credit, and now they have what we call a boo-boo on their credit that is preventing them from buying a house, starting a business, whatever it is that they're trying to do, and their credit is a part of that journey?
I mean, I think we get those kinds of calls twice a day, or people who are just afraid that they've had some type of identity crisis. I found ever since we got more scam calls, people are answering the phone less. Oh, so they're less aware of what's actually happening with them because—
Wow, that is such a good point. I never even thought about that. Yeah, because it says a lot of times it says not scam call. What does
scam
it say?
Scam likely.
Spam call. Yeah. Spam call. And sometimes they're not even really spam.
Nope. I discovered that myself. I was getting a call and it was again and again, and it just kept telling me it was a scam. So I never answered it. And then come to find out, spoke to a creditor from a final bill from when I moved from my apartment back into my house. And they were like, yeah, we've been calling you. And I was like, oh my gosh, this whole time it's been telling me you're spam. They're like, well, we're not, you owe us. And I'm like, okay, I'm on it.
Wow. Well, and the thing is that what we need you to know, friends, is that there are so many different ways in which identity theft can happen, okay? There's the traditional way that people think about where someone actually steals your license, your passport, your social security number, and they are actually acting as you. Whether it's getting credit cards or getting, like you said, Samantha, apartments in someone's name or turning on utilities in someone's name. There's also the identity theft that comes with tax returns. We get a lot of calls from elderly people where someone is actually using their social security number in the United States to work because they don't have a work visa or whatever the case may be. So it's really, really important. And what we're going to be talking about today is how you can protect and optimize yourself and why it is so, so important. I can't tell you how many times I have been speaking to a group of people and I ask them to raise their hands. Who in the room is monitoring their credit? Listen, friends, we insure our cars, we insure our homes, we insure our life. But what is the one thing that can drive a lot of those vehicles, your credit? If you are not monitoring your credit, unfortunately, you can fall victim to a lot of different scams that are out there. Now, I had talked a couple of weeks ago about another scam that's happening with credit card identity theft, where someone can actually hack into your online credit card and make themselves an authorized user on a current credit card that you have, and you won't even know it, okay? And they, in a matter of I don't know, 3 days, can use the full amount that you have available to you or more. And we have had this happen to many, many clients, Samantha.
Yeah, I was actually just reading a story myself, being in Santa Clarita. We have like a local Instagram page where they kind of post things. And I was reading that 3 or 4 people at our mall was actually pickpocketed. Oh. So they're being safe. They have everything in their purse. It's close to their side. You know, you think you're being as vigilant as possible. Mm-hmm. And you just can't really, you know, you can't be too safe. You really can't. And Angela, a question I have for you is, what does monitoring really mean? Because, you know, I have a lot of people who say, well, you know, my credit card has the app, or I have looking at it through my credit. So like, what is the difference between monitoring that you're talking about mm-hmm. and what we think monitoring might be?
That's a really, really good question. And what I would say monitoring is making sure that you're looking at your balances, mm-hmm. okay? You're looking at the charges that are on your statements. Like, mm-hmm. you know, my husband thinks I'm crazy, okay? And I may be a little crazy.
We love it about
that. But I really look at everything. And you would be surprised how many times you find, if you go to the gas station mm-hmm. and you put your credit card in there, mm-hmm. there are a lot of ways that someone can get a hold of your credit card
number. Remember that happened to us when we were in Encino,
yes.
the gas station? They stole
yes.
all of our credit card
information. Yes, yes, they did. And yeah, we were like, what? Are we being targeted?
Like, it took us forever to figure out that it was just the 7-Eleven across the street. But
yeah.
it does, you know, the gas station and everything, like, it's really hard to tell. And we're being vigilant. We're using our debit card. Mm-hmm. We're going to a place that's very familiar to us.
Yeah.
And that's why you really have to be looking at it and mm-hmm. you have to be engaged with it.
Well, yeah. And what happens a lot of times, Samantha, is that people do have monitoring systems,
mm-hmm.
but they don't pay attention to the alerts because they get busy or whatever the case may
be. Or they don't know what alerts to pay attention to, because let's talk about
true.
How many of those alerts you get a day. Like
oh,
four
yeah.
or five emails. How
yeah.
do you know which one is important and which
or
one
text.
Isn't?
Yeah.
Unless you have a team like us to let you know which ones are important.
Absolutely. And looking at the inquiries mm-hmm. is super important. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Now, the other part about it is that there are some that are not going to be an inquiry on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or inquiries that don't report to all three bureaus. So
that's
if
right.
you're only monitoring one, you might not see them on others.
Yes. Yes. So this is important, why you have to know what to look for. You need to mm-hmm. look at your inquiries. You need to pay attention to the alerts that not only come from your creditors, but also come from the credit agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about your credit cards is that each credit card company has a system online where you can go online and look at your credit card whenever you want. The other thing that you can do to protect and optimize yourself is that you can lock your credit or freeze your credit. But you can also lock your credit card. Now, you have to be careful, okay? Because if you lock your credit card, and this is a credit card that you have reoccurring payments to one of your mm-hmm. vendors or creditors, mm-hmm. if it's locked, then the payment won't go through.
Now, see, this is already something I'm learning today, because I would not have thought that.
Yeah.
If I'm authorizing a previous charge, mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's locked for new charges or manual charges.
Yeah, no, it's locked, period,
oh.
okay? So you have to choose a credit card that you're going to, I'm going to use your word, I
mm-hmm.
love it,
yeah.
vigilant,
yeah.
that you're vigilantly looking at so that you know the charges that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that you have 5 credit cards and you really only use 1 or 2 all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The other 3 you should have locked, okay? Mm-hmm. And what this will do is that you have a password. And if you want to go and use the credit card, you can just go on your app on your phone and unlock it to use right then and there and then lock it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it's really important to know that when you lock your credit card with a charge, you have to let it at least sit there for about a half an hour.
Okay.
Because sometimes charges don't go through automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you lock it right away, that charge may not go through.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea here is to cut off the thieves at the knees
yes.
and make sure that that credit card is locked so that someone can't go in and make themselves an authorized user
mm-hmm.
and use that credit card. And then the credit cards that you're using all of the time, you're vigilant about looking at the charges that are showing up on your statement. You can look every morning if you want to, but it's really, really about paying attention, my friends. I can't tell you once again how many times We have people that are very, very busy that don't pay attention to these alerts. Now, we have had many different scenarios and situations that we've had the pleasure to serve our clients with these unfortunate situations. Samantha, you were talking about a client that we had where it was a little bit of an untraditional situation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really want to preface by when I first started at ConCredit, I didn't know anything about credit. And I think that's actually really helped me being able to learn kind of without a background, because what I find a lot of times is clients assume they know what they don't. And that can be really dangerous just in life, but especially in an area that we're unfamiliar with, right? And that is forever changing. But I think the most shocking identity theft case that we had was a client of ours who basically didn't really have any signs of identity theft at first. He approached us for a traditional credit repair, just wanted to get his credit up. He was also someone who didn't have a lot of credit. So his credit issues weren't really because of bad credit, right? So the reason that that's important is because he wouldn't necessarily get approved for higher tier cards for identity theft, but he still would get approved for things like apartments and utilities and phone bills. And so basically,
cell phone bills, that's a big thing that people don't think about.
I was in T-Mobile, just sidebar, but I was in T-Mobile. And what they said is that people sit in the lobbies and they listen to the passwords and the passcodes and that you're giving to get new phones. And that's how they get your security passcodes and your pins and things like that. So cell phone companies are taking next steps and they're requiring driver's license. But in this client's case, the perpetrator actually had a driver's license with the client's name on it and a version of that person's name combined. And then they also had their picture. So they were able to get all of these things that require documents that you think there's no way that they would get those, right? They're government documents. And who knows how, you know, they obtain these things.
Well, you think about it with the way that digitization is today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so easy to create documents on a computer.
Well, this is like a thing that's going on. These, I don't know what it stands for, but these CPNs is a term that I hear often, where people are getting apartments in their names. And I've even had a friend of mine who was like, this is safe. This is totally fine. And then I just asked her, I said, just consider that using someone else's information is never fine. It should always be a bit of a red flag. And this client, you know, he had no idea. He had no inquiries. He had no way of knowing, but when we got him in on his client, we noticed some soft inquiries that we're able to look at through the direct bureau access, and we noticed some red flags. So what we noticed is that a lot of these like soft inquiries, which they do when you're opening utilities and stuff, they're not hard inquiries, were from New Mexico. And our client was bi-coastal in LA and New York. So we kind of started asking him more like, hey, like, this kind of seems strange to us. And then a collection popped up. And he was like, no, this is definitely not me. And I was like, well, they have your driver's license. Because sometimes clients have trouble remembering
certain
bills. Of course, we all do, right? So the more we investigated, the more we found out that this person was actually using his identity, getting apartments, staying there for 2 to 3 months until they evicted him, getting utilities for these apartments, and then just moving on all through New Mexico. He never opened any cars, never did any of that because we shut down the client's credit and wasn't allowed to do inquiries. But basically, he did all of these things throughout. And this client had a problem for a year and a half of just random collections popping up. The client had trouble understanding why it was his responsibility to hire us to fix the issue. And I said, but that is what's unfortunate, you know, is that you become responsible for the perpetrator's wrongdoing, and you become responsible for proving that it wasn't you.
Oh, and that is the biggest thing, you know, with all of our clients that we have protected and that we've been able to fix these issues is the burden of proof. The burden of proof is on you as a consumer. And this is why what we're teaching you today, friends, is so vitally important that you take the measures to protect yourself. You must protect yourself because, listen, you can hire companies like us to protect you. You can hire online companies and pay a fee to protect you. But no one can protect you the best way but you. And let me tell you why. Is you know what's going on. You know when you are applying for a credit card. You know when you're applying for a car loan or an apartment or you're turning utilities on in an apartment, you know all of these things, but we may not know. Now, we, of course, again, using that word vigilant, we're going to know what's going on with your credit because we keep records. And when we see something foreign, we're going to bring it to your attention and let you know. But you, my friend, will know sometimes before even us, because if you are keeping track of this information, it's easier for you to know what's going on.
Of course, how are we supposed to know that over the weekend that Crate and Barrel didn't have an awesome sale if you opened up their credit card? Like, we don't know, you know? And who are we? We're not a judgmental set of people. We're real people. We came from real circumstances and we learned along the way too. And we're taught in a lot of ways and just kind of knowing what to look for. And I always tell clients this when we're talking about monitoring, and they go, well, like, what's the difference? And I was like, well, if you're not already kind of aware of the difference, then, you know, you might be a little bit uneducated about your credit itself. And for us, that's always the most important. I want to leave every conversation with the client feeling, you know, empowered and educated, because really, like, even we were speaking about that client yesterday, we were really struggling to get to a common ground. And then him and I, we were just walking through it and we break it down. And we really found out that he kind of just assumed a lot based on another website that he was using online and what they were telling him. And what, you know, our clients don't realize that, that these are all consumer sites.
Yes.
They're trying to sell you something. They're trying to sell you per click, per view. We're not trying to sell you anything other than your own protection.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean that in the most humble way possible.
Or educate. We're trying to educate our clients.
Yeah, we care. We care about our clients. We care about their success. They're not, you know, just another number to us. I think that we have close relationships with almost all of our clients. When they call, it just feels good to hear their voice. But the reality is that you have people that are invested in, you know, but that only goes so far too. We're going right back to our main point, is that you have to know and you have to be vigilant because you're your own best protector.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we suggest to our clients, especially high profile clients. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay. High profile are people that are in the limelight. You know, they're on TV. They have a lot of following. You are really, really vulnerable when you have a lot of following and you are mainstream media, okay? A lot of people want to know who you are, where you're at. And your credit report, unfortunately, can tell a big story about where you live, what's going on with your life. And so you need to cut off the outside world from being able to have access to that by freezing your credit. Now, I want to make sure that we expose something.
Okay.
And this was actually something that you taught me, is about the difference between locking your credit and freezing your credit. So can you expand on that?
Yes, I would actually like to add a fraud alert in there too, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Because these are the three distinct things. And as we went back to these consumer sites selling us thing, it's important to know what you're being sold. So basically, locking your credit is a service that all three agencies offer, and it's free. And you can do it on the app. And when it first came out, maybe a year or so ago, I was getting a lot of calls from my family, like, which one should I do? Which one should I do? You know, because a couple of my family members were worried about having identity theft and some issues. And I was like, well, you need to freeze it. And they were like, but I locked it. But, you know, a lock doesn't protect you. A lock is simply a service offered through the credit agencies, the consumer part. So federal legislation backs a credit freeze. So that is actually federally backed by the FCRA. That is really a legal stance against your credit. Locking it is simply like locking your credit card. So I'm not going to take away from locking it.
No.
I'm just saying that if you've especially experienced identity theft, it is kind of a pain to manage the freeze at times, as we know, but it is so vitally important because, you know, every time I struggle to get into a client's account to unfreeze it or have some issues, I just think to myself, good. I would rather struggle for their protection than be more convenienced by easily being able to access it.
Yes.
And then you have your fraud alert, which is also important to have even when your credit is frozen.
Yes.
Because what people don't know is that when you are getting these authorized user cards, and they've done a lot to overcome this, but not every company does.
No.
It's not perfected at all. Nothing is perfected. We're learning that. It's coming along, but nothing is perfected. But this fraud alert actually alerts your active creditors as well. So you'll have your phone number on there. So let's say that they do this soft inquiry and your credit is frozen to be added as an authorized user, and then they see that fraud alert, it will actually stop them in the process of being added as an authorized user. Not every time, because not every company follows every guideline, but it's just another form of protection. So a fraud alert, a 7-year fraud alert, which you can only get with a police report, is really important for clients, especially like identity theft or fraud victims, because it's just an extra layer of protection.
Yeah. Now let's expand on that.
Okay.
Because it's very important when you have a fraud alert mm-hmm. to include your phone number.
Oh, yes.
And here's the reason why, my friends. If you have a fraud alert on your credit report, but you neglected to put your cell phone number on there, mm-hmm. no creditor will give you credit because they can't contact you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go back through the process of making sure that you include your phone number on the fraud alert. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it can be a pain in the tuchus.
Especially to add it or remove it. It can take a lot of work to do those both of things. And, you know, I do understand that it's an inconvenience, but it's so important for the credit agencies to be responsible for protecting your information. You want them to be vigilant and making sure that you're protected and that you do have that. So, I mean, I think the fraud alert is so, so important. But mm-hmm. to your point, we've had so many clients put, you know, business managers' phone numbers or mm-hmm. brokers' phone numbers because maybe something happened in the middle of a transaction. It's really important that it's your information. It's
yeah.
your credit profile. You're in control no matter who you are, where you are. It's really important that you're in control of your own credit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing that I want to mention is that each agency will allow you to make a statement on your credit report, but I want to tell you, listen to the sound of my voice. Do not make statements on your credit report. And here's the reason why, okay? Depending on the transaction that you're going to embark on, if you have a statement on your credit report, it can actually cause you to be declined. So if you've had a late payment or you've had a collection, or anything to that magnitude, and you explain what happened on your credit report, it's first of all going to make it really difficult to try to get that information remediated or removed from your credit history because you have a statement that's going to stay there for 7 years. I can't tell you, Samantha, how many people have asked me, well, you know what? I'm really so upset by this injustice that I'm going to go ahead and put a statement on my credit
report. Didn't do this right. on purpose. This was not me. And they're like, this definitely helps. I'm like, it absolutely
no,
does not
it does
help.
Not help. It does not help. So I want to caution you, friends, make sure that you do not put any statements on your credit report. So again, segueing back a little bit to what some red flags are when it comes to finding out that there might be possible fraud. Samantha, what would we say are some red flags that you've seen?
I definitely think like the common red flags are new credit inquiries or credit accounts. That's usually the easiest way. If you get an alert that says, you know, you have a new account appearing on your credit or you have a new inquiry on your credit. Like I said, inquiries don't go across all three agencies. So it's definitely important to be monitoring all three and noticing their alerts. And then, you know, the one I think people commonly miss is the increase in spending per credit account.
Huh, and that, please, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I noticed and I try to put in our monitoring updates because, you know, sometimes our spending does increase on our credit cards. Some clients have come back and say, we put all our moving costs. We're going to alert you. We're going to let you know, hey, your spending on this credit card increased by 50% or this credit card is maxed out. And traditionally, you haven't even gotten close to that. So it's a bit of a way to kind of know. And that's another alert that they'll tell you your credit balances have increased.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think, okay, well, if I'm making payments to my credits accounts every month, they should be going down, right?
Yes.
They should be decreasing, not increasing. I think those are like the three major initial ones.
Well, let's expand on that though, mm-hmm. too, because what a lot of people may get concerned about is when they're looking at their credit card balance on their credit report mm-hmm. and it doesn't match what
yes.
they're looking at online.
Yes.
What we have to know is that the closing statement date mm-hmm. on your statement is when it's actually going to populate maybe a couple days later
yes.
on the credit report.
Because
so
a lot
it can
of people
be different.
Do think it updates as it goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is also not true. and definitely really scary. So increase spending on the cards. But I think to your point, it's like, again, it's important. You know what you're spending, and you know when you swipe the card or when you enter it online, you really know like what card you're using. So just being vigilant, knowing your creditors, because a lot of times the, you know, creditor names that report on your credit and the actual company that you're paying are different. We've seen that a lot. So really just, sorry, I totally just lost my train of thought because I was thinking that that is a way too, whenever you're looking at new auto loans, mm-hmm. is that sometimes clients will be like, oh, this isn't my auto loan, mm-hmm. but it's just, you know, Audi Financial, for instance, reports as VW Credit Inc.
Right.
And a lot of clients don't recognize that.
They
or
don't.
Chase changed to JPMCB.
Mm-hmm.
And clients will be like, nah, I don't have that credit card.
And yeah.
Like, well, you've had it for 13 years.
Yeah. So
maybe we can go
real.
Down the list and see which one it is. But those
but
are
that's
ways.
A part of educating, mm-hmm. and that's a part of, you know, making the client more aware mm-hmm. of what's going on, because too many people are not aware. Mm-hmm. And let me take you back somewhere else, too, when we're talking about inquiries. Mm-hmm. It's very important to know and understand that there are two different types of inquiries,
mm-hmm.
okay? You have soft inquiries mm-hmm. and you have hard inquiries. Now, soft inquiries are inquiries that your creditors that you have now, the banks and financial institutions that you do business with, when you sign a contract or when you sign online to accept a credit card, what you don't know is that you've given them the access to pull your credit whenever they want to, which is a soft inquiry. Now, the reason that banks and financial institutions want to have access to this is because they always want to look at what kind of risk profiles that they're dealing with, okay? A lot of clients have noticed that maybe they get something in the mail where their limit is being cut, okay? And part of that is that your bank or financial institution has done a soft inquiry on your credit report, and they've seen maybe that your balances are too high, and they don't want to continue with that risk, so they will cut your limit. But the inquiry is a soft inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
It, no one else can see it but you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The hard inquiries, however, are when you're filling out an application and you are applying for goods or services. And the reason that that's called a hard inquiry is because other banks and financial institutions that you're applying for credit with can see those inquiries. And it's very important for them to know what you're applying for. The reason being is that if we didn't have that kind of system, then you could be applying for three of the same kind of loans, get all three loans, and be over leveraged. So basically, the system is protecting banks and financial institutions by making an inquiry and showing other creditors what's going on and what you're applying for.
And that just, you know, segue into another thing that I really want to touch on is number of inquiries, because a lot of clients think they're getting denied, you know, credit because of their inquiries are decreasing their score. And it's just because you applied for four credit cards in a half an hour, and that comes off very fraud-like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something to be, you know, kind of looking at your credit too. If you're noticing three credit card inquiries in the same day, you know, that should definitely tip you off right away, because that to me says that someone is applying for credit, trying to get as much credit as they can before you find out that they're in your credit.
Unless that's really you, though, because
yes.
one of the things
yes.
that is a trick to the trade, just
yes.
so you know,
yeah.
because if you are needing,
I shouldn't have said same half an hour. I should have said same day, because that's very true. But definitely
yeah.
that's why you're getting denied. But
yeah.
like what you were saying, it's a, you know, it's a.
A red flag.
A red flag to the mm-hmm. creditors. Hey, this might be someone you're going to take a loss on when they max it out, and then you have to write off all the charges.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really a lot of times when it is in the same day, though, definitely.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that could tip you off when monitoring your credit.
Yeah. Now, let's also segue in really quickly to children and protecting their information. We have had many clients that have contacted us and asked us to freeze their children's credit reports, okay? Now, here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, how can my child have a credit report? They're only 7 years old, okay? And the truth of the matter is that, yes, your child does not have a credit report. But when they're starting to turn 13, we'll talk about that in another show.
And their social is still viable to get
yes.
credit no matter how old they are.
Absolutely, because Unfortunately, these thieves are very, very, very intelligent, and they know how to trick the system. But my point to this is that when you do have children, it is important to protect their identity as well. And each agency has the ability to freeze their social security number and credit so that if someone wanted to use their social security number to get accounts in their name, and believe it or not, my friends, we have seen many, many different clients where their parents or their family.
Well, you know, where I'm from, Angela, I'm from, you know, a little small country town, and it's very common for family members, maybe those less fortunate or those who might be under the influence of other things, you know, using their sisters, using their cousins, little siblings' identities, and basically stealing them. It is stealing them, their children, but they're using them to get utilities, to get apartments and things like that, because it is a generational thing. It's the things that our parents did and the things that their parents did was using their kids' credit who had not been, you know, negatively impacted to get necessities. And so what you realize when you turn 18 is that you're now, you know, coming into credit or 16, 17, 18 with bad credit. And you're like, how have I had bad credit when I barely can get a credit card now? So it is really more common, too, that it can be someone most often that actually is pretty close to you. And, you know, it's not malicious. It's not, oh, you have to think a lot of times, you know, when it's a perpetrator, but when it's closer to you, it can hurt more. But a lot of times those people are in survival. They're just thinking about how they can make it to, you know, their next day or your next.
Well, motion. It still doesn't feel good when you're 18 and you're going to, and you're going to college and you have to deal with those issues. However, there are ways to combat that.
By freezing your kids' credit and protecting them from people that you might not know they need protection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about, before we close, what can someone do when they have been a victim of identity theft? There are two major things that you need to do besides freezing your credit. That's like the most important, and putting that fraud alert with your phone number on all three credit agencies. But Samantha, what are the two things that we suggest to our clients that have been victims of identity theft? What do they need to do immediately?
Well, immediately you need to file a police report. So you need to take your evidence, whether it's a letter from a creditor you might have received or a copy of your credit report showing the fraudulent inquiry. Always has to be evidence for a police report. And you just go down to your local in your area, in your residence area.
Local. That local. Is
it
very
has to be local.
Key.
Yes. Yes. We've had many clients who are like, okay, but I'm in Italy right now. And I'm like, hey, you have to come home and file a police report. But, you know, your local police station and filing a report and really just outlining not just that, you know, that is a part of identity theft, but now your identity has been compromised because you don't know what's to come down the line. You
can never predict. Come up later. And unfortunately, a lot of people neglect to put that on the police report.
And they have to go back two or three times for each account. And you don't want to do that. We have clients who were victims of identity theft 5 years ago and have things popping up and were able to use their previous police report because it was encompassing of the fact that their identity was compromised. And that is actually the document that is required for you to get out of owing anything. If you don't have a police report, they can say, oh, well, you know, I'm so glad that you alerted us to this. But if we don't have any documentation, how are we supposed to know?
Well, and here's the thing, my friends, the reason why it's very, very important to have this document is because each bank and financial institution has insurance. Insurance backed security. And they have to submit this documentation to their insurance company in order to be covered, okay? Because if someone goes and spends $100,000 on your credit card, they're not just going to eat it, okay? That's what they have insurance for.
It's coming out of somebody's pocket.
Absolutely. So this is why these documents are so important. Now, Samantha, one thing that I have noticed, because identity theft is the number one crime in America right now, a lot of the police stations now are allowing you to file these reports online. So you just have to find out if your neighborhood police station will allow you to do it online. But like Samantha said, you have to be very specific and have the backup documentation. What's the second thing that we suggest our clients to do?
The second thing is the identity theft or fraud alert, depending on whichever one. Sometimes you're just having fraud. So you're just having someone charge credit cards, but they don't have your personal identity, right? They're just using your existing credit. And then you have identity theft where they're using your existing identity.
Yes,
for
your social security number. Yes, absolutely.
So knowing what form you need, having that form notarized and, again, filled out in its entirety. There are a lot of details that you need to include so that you don't have to go back and do this form again and again.
That's the fraud affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there are two different types of affidavits. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have a fraud affidavit and you have an identity theft affidavit. So if someone is actually using your credit card, that would be fraud. So we've had clients that have had, unfortunately, people that paid their bills, that used their credit cards, okay, fraudulently without them knowing. That's fraud. But if someone actually takes your identity, applies for cards or different things in your name, that is considered identity theft. So it's important to realize the two different natures of identity theft and making sure that you have a fraud affidavit form or an identity theft affidavit form, and you get that notarized. Now, when you get it notarized, there are many different places that you can go that have notaries. It's very inexpensive. It can cost you anywhere from $10 to $20. But what you want to make sure in those documents is that you are stating what happened and what could future or what in the future could happen, so that, again, like Samantha said, you're protecting your future.
And you don't have to name people in these documents.
No,
too.
Yeah.
You know, we deal with clients all the time that, you know, we've dealt with NFL players whose, you know, parents have used their credit, or we've done with people whose assistants have taken their identity and things like that. And you don't have to name the person, even if you know. It will ask you from the police will ask you if you know. And we'll do plausible deniability.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of people sometimes...
And sometimes they're really, really not sure.
Mm-hmm. You yeah. might not be sure. And, you know, a lot of times I know people, clients of ours, who have been unsure because they do know who it is. And they would rather take responsibility for the account and take responsibility for the damage done to their credit versus they feel turn someone in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that because, you know, identity theft is so big, and because of all of these companies that are doing these different things, which is a whole other podcast, but, you know, all these companies are doing so many different things, you don't have to name the person, but mm-hmm. you shouldn't take responsibility for something that isn't yours at all, especially if it's yeah. damaging your credit, you know, because you'll have to live with that. And it will cost you way more money than whatever you think it's going to cost.
So oh, my goodness.
It's really important to know. And that's why I always tell clients when they come to us and they say something like, well, can I just do this? Or why isn't this so easy? And like, you really have to think about it in a logical standpoint. And that's why sometimes it's better, I would say 100% of the time, it's better to hire someone or lean on someone, because, you know, we don't have the emotional investment in it in terms of...
Talk about it. Talk
yeah,
about it.
You know, if they... This poor client took 8 months to prove that she didn't open up a credit card and max it out because the person had spliced her phone number, had done all of these things to make it
opened
look
up
like
bank
it was,
accounts in her name.
Yeah,
made were it really depositing quicker. Money into her bank account.
Were paying
They're
on
very
the credit
smart.
Card. They were
yes.
paying on the credit card
yes.
from the account mm-hmm. that they opened in her name. So it took us a long time. And, you know, she had a lot of emotional investment in it. Of course she did. You know, who doesn't? It's
And she lost a lot. She wasn't mm-hmm. able to buy a home.
Yeah, for 8 months. And
yeah.
some of her cards, I remember decreasing their limits, other dangers.
It's not her fault.
And it's not easy to get that back. It's not a flip of a switch. It's not a quick conversation where you explain to them what happened. They're like, you know what? Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let's up your limit. Let's give this back to you.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to think, because so many people lie, it's hard for them to tell what's real and what's fake.
Absolutely.
But you know what helps you?
That's why you
got
to take those measures.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have to get the police report and get the affidavits mm-hmm. and really prove, because someone who it's really happening to is going to take that on. And
yes.
They're going to be vigilant with it, and we'll help you. You know, we'll help you every step of the way. We'll submit the documents. We'll sit on the phone for 6 hours a day for 8 months.
We will fight for you.
Exactly.
We will fight for you.
We hate injustice. That
yes.
is the one thing we can agree that we all yes. can't stand. Is
Yeah, give me a pound on
yeah,
that.
It's an unfair fight. We will take it as far as we can, because, you know, we really do. That's the great thing about our boutique company and how we're operated and how you've set it up over the years. And my favorite thing about our company is just service first.
Yes.
And really taking things on, you know, as individuals, as if every client experience is our own experience.
Yeah, we take it on like it's happening to us.
Mm-hmm. Because it is happening to
us.
It really is, or has happened, or has had happened to our family, or things like that. And clients are so grateful. And I'm like, you know what? You guys feed us because we're, this drives us. It makes a job, not a job, but just
passion.
A passion. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, friends, you heard it here first on Your Credit Today. Keep coming back because we have so much information to share with you. The intent of this show is to show you what you need to do to have your credit be in an amazing position. Because what we know is that your credit is an investment tool to build wealth. And when we can continue to educate you on the tools and the tricks and the trade that you need to know enough to be dangerous, that's our intent. My name is Angela Setters-Bassard, the host of this show. Thank you so much for coming. And Samantha, thank you so much for being here today. It's always a pleasure, even though I get to talk to you every single day.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to Your Credit Today, where we navigate the world of credit management one episode at a time. Remember, financial freedom begins with understanding. Be sure to subscribe for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you master your credit journey. Until next time, this is A to the N to the G, the real credit queen. Remember to stay informed, stay empowered, and stay financially savvy.